Accession number 29909, reel 4.
Oh, he was a fanatic. Well, I said, when he got us in that barn at Gaza and said, the war's going this way and that, you know, after we'd just been doing that, well, them Vipers, that's what they called them. We'd been making up a couple of load of them. Where they went, I don't know. But he said, now the war's going this way and that's going that way. We're now in MO4. Well, that meant double Dutch to us, we didn't go. But eventually we start to find out gradually, you know, what it was about. One session we found, if you volunteered to go on your own to drop with the partisans, you got full commission of a captain, you know, that sort of thing, you know. Well, see, even that you don't know, because I met one of my mates, they disappear. You see what I mean? You don't know, nobody tells you nothing. They're picked out and they go. So when I went into Haifa, the Parthenon, you know, I went along there and there was a board up and my mate's name was on it. He'd been dropped, but he'd been shot, you know. I saw that. That's the sort of setup you're in. See, you're not told nothing. Well, I suppose there's the whole idea. I don't know. I understand that. But you're never warned of what you're going to do. You just say, well, you don't. You never know, because you get up in the morning, you get this different jobs, and, you know, you're put straight onto it. It's the same as them Vipers. I mean, well, I had no clue what the hell they were all about. These 20-foot lengths of ruddy hoses, putting a primer cord through, and gun gotten primers, and this stabilised ruddy gel, you know, nitro. And I say, out come blooming cans of blooming weak tea and aspirin. We soon found out why. Whew, that'd be like, we wanted rubber gloves. Yeah, we was queer for days using that, you know. You don't brush that off just as easy as that. Where they went, I haven't got a clue. Because I'll tell you another thing. While I was in Pioneers, and I took these couple of Greek boys up to the... See, Anassas' house was being used as a hospital. Well, Aristopolis' house. And that's how I got involved with them. These two Greek boys come down to ours and they tipped this truck over and buggered their legs up. So we took them up to the hospital. And we're coming away. And Ron, Earl of Essex, he went on. But I stopped back and looked at a big pit of arms and legs. I said, Christ, what a mess. And they were doing amputations, well, you know, continuously. So I'd see one of the medics, I said, the hell's all that? Oh, he said, that's Indian dear. Their officer put him through a minefield. Now, he said he'd been, you know, decommissioned for doing it. But there was over 150 arms and legs in that pit. That's what he told me. And the trouble was that the medics in that hospital had run out of arsenic. That's right. When they do amputations, they dust the wound with arsenic to, you know, to congeal it or something to stop it bleeding, you know. And that didn't make sense to me. Dusting arsenic is bloody poison. Well, same as I did when I went in hospital in Bombay that Christmas. I caught my knee on that ruddy bit of metal. They put blooming white lead and opium on my blooming knee. I said, that don't make sense. It's two vicious poisons. But I asked an Indian doctor, he said, yes. Well, Christ, I never heard of that. poisons to do this and that, you know, but arsenic, just arsenic on wounds to, you know, to stop the bleeding, I suppose, or something, to clot it, you know. Yeah, that, I said I'd come to meet his Arsenal's wife. See, they were living in the lodge gates of their home, because their home was being used as the hospital. And I came down, and she come out and said, what happened, because she knew we'd been up there. I said, a couple of the Greek boys, bigger than I thought. Oh, would you like tea? I went and had tea and biscuits. I went over there 3 times, you know, met them. They asked me where I lived. I might as well have said China. They were talking about Park Lane. Oh, but, you know, I enjoyed the tea and biscuits. I went over there 3 times.
While you were in Norway, what was the attitude of the population towards you?
Well, half and half. I don't think they want us there. No. Whether they were thinking that we were, you know, escalating the problem of being there, like they're saying the same thing, you know, us being in Ira. See, when you're involved, they think things would be more calmer if you wasn't there. But, no, I should say Norway, they weren't over the top with it, although they were when we gave them the food. Different bloody thing, wasn't it? You know, I mean, we gave them a barn full of food and they helped us all. But who was, you know, what country was right, you know, with that mess, what they were going through, you know. But, I mean, they'd had a packet like everybody else, they'd been shelled right and left, you know. And I said, when you think of the war spite and the whole range of ships and guns firing up, but, well, from a beach up. I'll tell you another thing. When I went for that beach landing, there was a rowing boat coming out from the beach with a family in it. And the ruddy Germans were shooting at them. And the mother was standing up and I see her get shot. You know, Norwegian family. And they were making their way to our boats. I couldn't see where they could, you know, where they'd be entertained. But they were rowing out across to our boats that we were leaving, past them. I saw that on Party News, that episode. And, yes, they shot the mother. Whether she was killed, I don't know. I'd see her go down, but, you know. But Rodney German was shooting them, you know. There you are. That's when we started getting the crew on our boat, because a metal boat, and wanted to, oh, God. But 10 of us went off that, onto the beach and behind the boat, and yet one of us didn't get hit. For a simple reason, these here trees, they were firing a bit high. The only thing we got was showered with rotted leaves, you know. But we got the cracks, and I tell you, they don't whistle with the bullets, because they're hitting leaves and they're cracking. You know, crack, 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 crack. Oof, guys, let me say that again. I don't know how many machine guns were up there, but by God.
What happened after you landed on the beach?
Well, we had to make our way up the hill, you know. Well, on the beach, I saw we made a dive for the 2 rocks. Well, I did, and we all split up like, you know, I was hoping. And I met them, you know, legionnaires. Well, I got involved with them. And then when he got shot, and I knew I'd got to get up with the others, diving up, gradually up, you know, behind boulders as you went up, until you picked up one or two, you know, and by the time I got there, I suppose there were about maybe 3 or 4 of us, And then, after the barn, it slightly quietened down a bit. And then we got into the town. Oh, that was a joke. And because everything's built up on stilts, you know, all the buildings to allow for the snow, I suppose. This big, really shop with Haverhill steps up to it. Of course, we must have looked queer buggers, you know, with all this gear, but balaclavas right over us, you know, and goggles. And of course, we got money, so I thought, I'm going to have a look in the shop and see what they got. I went up the steps and the poor old dear was behind a net curtain. Scared the hell she was, you know. I went in, I said, oh, you know, trying to calm her down. And I bought a little pair of Dutch clogs with Narvik on them. I don't know that name. First wife had them. And I bought them and they come out. She wasn't too bad, but yeah, all the buildings were stuck up on, you know, built up off the ground, staked up. Even the well factory, I mean, you could get under it, you know. Good job we could. But them bloody planes, I mean, Sweden, right, Sweden, let them go. They were over every hour, sort of thing, you know. And the racket they made, you know, that was bad enough. Shrieking like they did. You'd think they were going to, you know, hit the deck. And then they'd pull out and drop their ruddy rubbish and come back and then skim over the houses machine gun. As I say, we were in brown gear against white, so I mean, they could see us as easy as that. Well, I know they could, because they chased us along the ruddy beach when we were diving over them buoys, whatever you call them. Well, actually, I mean, we were getting bloody machine guns, yet we were bloody taking a mick out of each other, even then, you know. I can't think of I don't understand it, really, when you think, we weren't scared, you know. I don't know. Maybe somewhere, I don't know. I can't remember ever being bright. No, what I was on about was who the hell got us into this ruddy mess, because I could see half a ruddy other side didn't want it more than us. That's the attitude I took. And I was blaming them what was got us into it. You know, that's the way I looked at it. Same as the ruddy mess we got now, you know. You know, this is the same, well, it is exactly the same, isn't it? I mean, why push, see, as policing, this policing don't work because it's got to take time, you know. It's bad enough to police our own country. I mean, we aren't making much of a job of that at the moment, you know. That's the way I look at it. And I think America has got the same problem. They're a good side, just as bad, you know. They want to stabilise their own countries. Unless they're trying to police other money country. And I get talking to fellas, you know, have been through it, and they're saying, well, Jim, he's very good. He said, Jim, this country has never changed, as it were. He said, well, we'll forever police the world, he said. When you think, way back, we nearly took 3/4 of it, and we're still trying to do it now. You know what I mean? Well, you think of the pink that used to be in this world, didn't it? Yeah? Funny, isn't it?
You mentioned the Quislings earlier. Do you know, or did you have any idea of what sort of proportion of the population were in favour of the Germans?
Well, this is the point that we were sent in to do, what we were paid to do, to mix with them and live amongst them. And the Quislings, I think they were getting a good run. They were getting there, you know, with the Norwegians more than our side, you know. I got a feeling that they weren't too happy with us, you know. I don't think they admired us any more than they did the Germans, you know. Because I suppose their political view of it was, you know, why there, you know. Well, truly, why did we go to Norway, you know? Because it was over that bloody business, well, what we got involved with, that rail and the stuff going through. Because the iron ore was going through on that railway, what we were supposed to go up and destroy. And that's, you know, that was feeding the iron ore into Germany, you know. And that's what the part and parcel of our job was, you know. That's the only reason we were involved with Norway. Plus this heavy water business as well, you know.
How long did you spend in Norway in total?
Well, it's on there. You know, all of them were a bit... Oh, God.
Well, you've got a lot there. Home, Norway, 7, home from Norway, got it, see, that's all there.
2 months.
Yeah, it wouldn't be much more than that. That was long enough.
And were your orders updated regularly, or were you given a series of orders before you left?
No, this is what I'm saying. You never knew what you was going to be involved with until you'd done. You were, you know, detailed to do it. There was no preparation for doing anything. You get up in the morning, you do this. Maybe, and then you do that. Like I said, making them vipers that morning. We didn't even know what the hell they were. I'd never heard of vipers and what they were for. But we had to guess what they were for, you know, because we weren't involved with them, you know, to make the pathway through the minefields and that sort of thing, you know. But where they went, I don't even know. You see, that's the mystery of it, you know. You're involved with things, you're up to your neck in it. But you're never in, you know, prepared for anything. You're just, in the morning, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. The same as when we were on that landing. We didn't know we was going up there to destroy the railway. We knew nothing about that. We had to find out what we was involved in. Because, see, that was Lieutenant O'Neill, Lance Sergeant Martin, and bad going, is it? that was R10. And Gillen Brown, Fitzpatrick, myself. Well, that's half on. That's not bad going on, you know. And that's the way, you know. Truthfully, you know, with this business, as I said, you know, I've got such, even with my problem with this hospital, they don't like it because I've got such a hell of a memory. I can talk about things, you know, well, like I'm talking about 70 years ago, look, you know, not bad for 90, is it, you know, when you think of it, you know, you would like to be although what I've been through with the ruddy mess I'm in, look at this business, you know. And I got hernia, but I can't wear the bloody thing because it's done that to me all round there. So I've got to have the operation straight away, which I want. I don't want that bloody belt. No. But,
what was your opinion of Colonel Gubbins leading the operation in Norway?
Well, he's not blowing boost to me, you know, so they get ideas in their head, but I mean, as it was said, to get fellas to go on a mission like that with 30 days food, pemmicans and all that, that's tinned corned beef and that, but 30 days on your back, you know, to get involved, wasn't exactly a clever idea, was it? Let's face it, you know, what he was thinking about, you know. But they admitted to themselves that was given scant attention to how we was going to cope. And you can imagine the clothes we were wearing. If we was wearing clothes like they wear now with the ski outfits, you know, and their mobility is there, but with the gear we had on, we could hardly really move, you know. And that's a different thing. But I say, I don't know. Well, you can imagine, tinned corned beef for 30 days. Can't say, you know. I don't know. It's kind of water. I don't know about drink. But that and biscuits, you know. That's what we had. I was really thankful, you know, when we got up into the town. I thought we was going to make ourselves a stew with it. Till we got ready raiding, everything was a light. The biggest joke on them sheets make me smile. I go from Shellhaven because I stand on the bank there with Lieutenant Moss. Saturday morning, I always remember that. The night, 2 nights before, we had a shower of ruddy magnetic parachute mines dropped on us. No Shellhaven, dear. No, it's on the banks of the Thames, the oil refineries, you know, tanks, these bloody great tanks. Well, where the tankers come in to fill them, there was a row of houses in the middle of them, 16 of these tanks. We were posted in that row of houses. And Mossy said, what the hell are we doing here? Because on that morning, Saturday morning, I always remember that. I know why, because he said, well, you live in bugger off home. But I was standing with him on the bank, and we were watching this tanker. I mean, well, what? Most of it, 50, yeah, I'm not sure it was much more than that. It went on to that terminal, but different terminals, different fuel. Well, a couple of nights before, these here magnetic mines had been parachuted down. Some were hanging on the bloody tanks, you know. Some of them must have went into the water. Well, this tanker pulled away from this jetty and straightened up and was just on the way, and we were standing there, and Christ, the whole front went up. And you never see such a pall of smoke in your life, black. And the trouble was, the crew all ran up because these tankers are flat decks, and, you know. And we see them all pour up onto the deck, and they all jumped into the water to come to us. But it must have been petrol. You know what happened, don't you? The whole top of the water flew alight when they come to us. And Moss said he felt sick. And he said to me, what the hell are we doing here? Because they all went to see this crew because the petrol shot across the water, and then when the plane shot across, because that had them, you see, that was terrible, you know. And they were trying to come to us, like, you know. And Mossy said to me, "What the hell are we doing here?" He said, "Where do you live?" I said, "Oh, I don't. Oh, bugger off home for the weekend, you know." But with that lot, I always come a cropper. I had the weekend home and I come back, and as I was coming into bloody Liverpool Street, the sirens were going, and as I got into Liverpool Street, do you know Liverpool Street Station? Fenchurch Street and that part. The whole 30-foot wall of bombs, stick of bombs went to the other side. The whole 30-foot wall come right across the Ruddy Station, out in the booking office, and you never see such a ruddy mess in all your life. And all flames, really got the fine. I got out and I go over for the, you know, right away fella. I said, "I've got to get up in Church Street." He said, "You'll be bloody lucky." He said, "There'll be nothing out of here tonight." He said, "Get in that one and take the first station out of here. Get out of this, you know." So I took his word. So I got in it. The first station out was Romford. And this was in the middle of the night sort of thing. So I went and laid on a bench, you know. And in the morning, I thought, well, I've got to get back. So I got myself back to Shellhaven. I was on a bloody charge because I missed my party. What did I get? One day's pay and confined about. Well, already confined about, we're already running. Every leave I had when I went back, I lost a day's pay and bloody confined the barracks. I went up to Ripon. I got up to Leeds. I said, I got this Leeds north and wandered west. So I asked the railway fellow, I said, "I want west." He said, "You're riding really lucky, there won't be." I said, "What again?" Same trick. Got in. They never asked you why you're late. They like to bung in day's pay and confined to the barracks. A big time, you know. Why, you know, these bloody officers, you know, they never want to know why, you know. You couldn't say, "Oh, I wouldn't believe you any bloody words." Well, I had three lots like that. Trying to get a connection, you know, like, but Fenchurch Street, guys, when I see that 34 wall come down, they're like, "Oh, it was naughty." Right across the station, booking all the whole ruddy lot. Well, London did have it, didn't it?